I suppose, like most of us, I take for granted the water that comes to my house until, of course, something dire happens. Right now, the water company's using a metal detector to search for the water cutoff in my front yard as water fills my basement.
The whole top of the valve snapped out. We're lucky the whole valve didn't come off the top and...
That's Eddie, my plumber, describing the state of the aging water main inside my house. Shaken by the image of water pouring into my basement, I'm no longer complacent about the source of water in Champaign-Urbana. And so I go in search of its origin. I start about 30 miles west of my home in Urbana, in the small town of Leroy, where I hope to see something invisible to the untrained eye, yet critically important to everyone in this community.
And now I've lost my directions. Look at my directions. Okay, there's the Casey's General Store. Ah, McLean County Highway 21.
I arrive at the crossroads of Leroy-Lexington Road and McLean County Road 900 North. Because of my GPS, I know I'm exactly 3,669.81 miles from Lake Tana in Ethiopia. That's the source of the Nile that created the Fertile Crescent that gave rise to the Egyptian Empire. From my car, I'm now viewing my own community's Nile, if you will. I'm surrounded by miles of flat farmland, except if I look due south down Lexington Road where the road dips deeply. An unusual feature in the heartland of Illinois, but according to David Larson of the Illinois State Geological Survey, it's a very telling feature.
Well, I think the most characteristic thing here would be to observe a very broad, long depression in the ground surface. But it's miles wide. It's to the point where an untrained observer would just say, oh, that's nice. What they're not looking for is that sort of that innate third dimension and also the time dimension. What happened here?
So what did happen here? Buried hundreds of feet beneath me lies the ancient Mohammed Bedrock Valley. Over 1 million years ago, a mighty river cut through the shale bedrock below. With chiseled banks as high as 150 feet, it rivaled today's Mississippi River. Starting near the Indiana-Illinois border, this majestic river made a graceful U-shape across the region, sweeping southwest toward Champaign-Urbana, then turning northwest to Bloomington. The river slowly died when a melting glacier filled it with sand and gravel, debris that makes the land where we now work and play and live. Paradoxically, the sand and gravel that killed the river created an aquifer that supplies the water that sustains our lives. Geologist David Larson explains how the Mohammed Aquifer works.
Well, actually, an aquifer just sits there because the aquifer is the material. So if you think of the sponge analogy, the aquifer is the plastic or that plasticized rubber that makes up the sponge. In the pore spaces between the grains of sand and the gravel, those pore spaces are where the water resides. And so the groundwater is the important thing about an aquifer. An aquifer is just kind of like the bowl, the container for the water.
Trapped in those spaces is the water we use every day to make coffee, wash our laundry, take a bath, and flush our toilets. But how much water can we squeeze from the Mohammed Aquifer? Here's Derek Winstanley, head of the Illinois State Water Survey.
It's not infinite. You can't just withdraw infinite amounts of water, otherwise you would suck the whole system dry.
So tomorrow I look into this question. How much water is there for us to use, and when, if ever, will it run out? For AM 580 News, I'm Bill Hammack.